We got to go to the very top of the bridge. It was exhilarating and terrifying. One of the top two things that I have ever done in my life.
Wow.
It was crazy great.
What was the view like from up there?
The view was incredible. We could see the Crescent City Connection Bridge downstream. We could see the Luling Bridge upstream. We had trains that passed while we were on the bridge. We had barges pass underneath while we were on the bridge. And we had vehicles passing. So we had all these modes of transportation. It was approximately from the base of the foundation to the top of the bridge, about a 21-story building.
Wow.
We were tied on. We had harnesses, so we were completely safe, but it was exhilarating.
So explain this expansion of the bridge. Why was it necessary, and just what does it look like?
When the original bridge was constructed in 1935, it was a railroad bridge and a pedestrian bridge and a highway bridge, one of the first of its kind in the United States. But in 1935, people were driving Model Ts, so the lanes were only 9 feet wide. It became a bottleneck. People were afraid to cross that bridge. I was one of those people afraid to cross that bridge. Even in a Volkswagen Beetle, it made me scared. So I would go out of my way instead of crossing that bridge, which costs time, which costs money. And I cannot be the only person that did that. Those lanes were no longer up to Department of Transportation and Development standards. We needed to expand the width of the lanes, and that's what this widening project included. One of the interesting parts about the widening project was no increase in the foundation supports was required. And you can see that if you are standing on the ground and looking across the piers. You see the original concrete piers, and then you will see the steel cantilever piers that are coming out of those original piers. But that foundation was not improved. It was not required.
It's named after this iconic governor of Louisiana. Why is it named after him?
The bridge opened on December 16, 1935, and Governor Long was assassinated a few months earlier in September of 1935. However, a recent collection of Governor Long's papers was just donated to Tulane University's Louisiana collection. There was a drawing of the bridge where Huey P. Long, in his own handwriting, wrote Huey P. Long Bridge, and then on the drawing had previously been printed across the Mississippi River at New Orleans. So he had declared this bridge would be in his name. But it makes sense. He was a big proponent of transportation infrastructure in Louisiana. He is the one that encouraged the designers and engineers to include the pedestrian and the vehicular portions of the bridge in addition to the rail portions of the bridge. And unfortunately, he was not there to see the grand opening.
So on Sunday, what can we expect to see out there? What are the events that are taking place on Sunday?
Well, the first event will be a 5K run across the bridge, and this will probably be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for the public to go across the bridge on foot, be able to stop at the top of the bridge, take pictures, just be a part of this bridge. So that starts at 8 o'clock, and that'll be a 5K run. And then the festivities will start later. I understand that Huey P. Long himself will be making an appearance in the form of Spud McConnell, so you don't want to miss that. And members of Huey P. Long's family have been invited, as well as people who initially crossed the bridge in 1935. The Louisiana State Museum will have a table set up with artifacts from the Huey P. Long Bridge that the public can look at, interact, and learn more about the history of the bridge.
Tanya Cobb-Marking is the author of the Huey P. Long Bridge book, along with Jennifer Snape, and also a civil engineer. Thanks so much.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.